This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Mateus, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of.
Welcome back to Red Advertising, a sound investment. Thanks for joining us for part two of the Doc and Guru podcast as we continue our conversation with radio icon Stan Katz. And we chat about the return of Stan the Man on his new show, Herding Cats, on Chai FM.
So I came up with a slogan, we're in the business of delivering prospects to advertisers. And I would say this even to listeners, that our job is to get it, is to sell you to advertisers, we're going to give you a hell of a great ride.
So that particular mantra, I know, has informed your book, and to our listeners out there, we've got a couple of copies of Stan's book here, which is Ready Advertising and Sound Investment, 10 Key Principles for Maximizing Return. And I know that...
Also rolls off the tongue.
It rolled off my false teeth there rather badly, I thought. But I know that's a mantra that permeates his book. It's one of the key thoughts that have driven your interface. In the late 80s, you can't overestimate the role that 702 was playing in the entire national narrative. It was a focal point.
Well, Gordon,
an audio point, I should
you
say.
You were, at that time, you were a media director, and you were one of the first people to latch onto this and to recognize what it was that we were trying to do. In fact, when we produced a promo video, we had you on there. I remember that. You still had dark hair.
I did, and I wasn't the most attractive man in South Africa. And I'm quite disappointed. I thought you were interviewing me for the most attractive man replacement.
That is not my function. But I can make some
inquiries. Yes, you could.
Doc, would you like to be
St. George's old aid home? St. George's.
I'll pay good money to get a ticket to the
Arbor Village and St. George's retirement home. I think you'll find a good stakeholding there for me.
Now, the other thing that I think helped change radio, perception of radio in this country, was we were a local station. Now, the only other station in the business was Capital, which sadly never took off because of technical issues. There was great talent there, and there was great vibe. I mean, the guys were having a good time. They brought them all out from the UK. But because of technical difficulties, their signal just...
Well, Sydney has to try and bounce it off at night. But
I mean, they had 500,000 watts. You know how powerful that is? Cattle that get in the way of that signal fry. So the other thing was, when I went around to see agencies, they said, "Now you're local." SABC, all the stations then were national or regional. There was Highveld, Jacaranda, Radio Contre, which was KFM, Radio Port Natal.
Yeah.
They were all regional, so you covered vast swathes of territory. And I said, well, that is our strength. If you regional, you have to cater, or national, you're catering to a whole range of people in the audience, whereas we focus on a very clearly defined geographical area, which we can super serve. And we just repeated this, you know, propaganda is a litany of the same thing repeated endlessly until they started feeding it back to us, and we'd go and see ad agencies. This was before the days of media agencies. Everything was...
Everything was one-stop shop, yep.
And I think, sadly, I think that's a great pity, but that's not what we're here to discuss. Yep. So eventually they repeated back, yeah, your strength is you guys are local.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So just a comment on that one-stop shop thing. I just was reading on LinkedIn that the national average or the international average for Joanna McDowell wrote a piece about it, if I'm not mistaken.
I worked with her.
Yeah, so
at Gray.
So I think the global average for the number of suppliers that marketers have to manage their communication and advertising offering is 65. 6-5.
What?
The national average in South Africa is 33. Now, how you can make a living out of 33 suppliers who are trying to collate and craft and curate a singular message.
Are advertising suppliers.
Advertise. So that you're interfacing with 33 people to come up with a unitary, holistic advertising perspective. It's a really interesting insight. I think it's a nightmare, quite frankly. You can't do it. But back to those days. So, I mean, you know, Jobbik was the focal point, and at that point you also began to introduce a new thought as well, which was, you know, not just, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself on the talk, but you began to walk the talk. I mean, events and things like that also were unheard of. I mean,
tell you what also set us apart. We said community involvement was not just a nice thing to do. It was at the foundation of our marketing strategy to become the hub of the 702 Land community, which we'd renamed was the PWV. We renamed it 702 Land. And guys still use it occasionally.
And you forever ruined Land of Hope and Glory for me as a celebration of British imperialism. You've destroyed it, Stan.
I'd be happy to know I received death threats for that.
At least more from Her Majesty.
But so we would raise money for Operation Hunger in winter time. We would raise blankets and food. 40 tons, I remember one winter, we raised 40 tons of food and blankets. So we got so involved with the community that, again, it was fed back to us. When we did focus group research, unprompted, we'd say, why do you like 702 Land? They'd say, because 702 cares. You can't get better than that. Mm. I mean, today, any brand that can have that type of response because your brand cares, my God.
Yeah. And you also, but I think what was always interesting for me, if you go back in the case study of 702, you were the first station that began to kind of promote itself as a destination. So billboards and things like that became a feature. If you were in the Gauteng area, what you saw were these cutting edge billboards and even bus station buses. You know, I always remember one of the payoff lines was, you picked up again the narrative that people were feeding back to you. Did you hear what John Burke said this morning? Because that's what people were saying.
And that was water cooler.
Water cooler stuff. Yeah.
Now, talk about John. So Izzy had contracted an American consultant, also again highly experienced guy, and he came here and he said, who's the top guy, top radio man in South Africa on air? Find out who he is and pay him whatever he wants. Because on a music station, the two most important things are music and mornings. Get your mornings right, get your music right, the rest of the day will flow. Because morning is when you queue the high. It's your highest possible queue is the morning. Now, Birks was paid the unheard of salary of 250,000 rand a month. I mean, it was that in itself became a talking point, but he was worth every penny of it. We had Birks had more listeners to his morning show than Radio 5 had nationally. And remember, Radio 5 was a national station. Mm-hmm. Radio 5 grew out of LM Radio. Mm. The government didn't want a foreign station broadcasting into South Africa, so they closed down LM Radio, and in its place sprung Radio Today.
Radio 5, yeah.
Radio 5, sorry. Yeah, Radio Today was another station. Radio 5.
Which then morphed into what we now know as 5FM.
Correct.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
That was where the change came for us. Springbok Radio, which had been doing incredibly well for many years until the advent of television, because Springbok Radio was block program. The one program had nothing to do with any of the previous or the foregoing program. For example, you'd have Forces Favorites, and then you'd have
Hospital Tate. I've still got deep scars. Ja, das liegt in der Glimmlach für jeres. Für Hospital Tate und Ho. Vanaf Maandag tot Vrijdag om half een is daar muziek voor moeder, vader en dochter en zin. And all together now. Ah, there we go. So yes, there's a deep scars.
So while we're on this, would you do some jingles for my new
I've
show?
I've got a new jingle for you, Stan. Do you want to hear it? Yeah. Well, let's throw forward a bit. We're going to come back to Stan the Man on Chai FM on the 14th of August at 2 o'clock is the date you want to put in your diary. And, your show, maybe let's finish off that thing. We'll come back.
So, the advent of television signed the fate for radio,
Springbok.
Also, we were taking a lot of money out of the market, 702 was at the time. And you alluded to the outdoor campaign that we ran. That was hugely successful. I appointed Ogilvy, what was Ogilvy and Mather at the time, or was it Wright?
Wright and Searle Tripp, Ogilvy and Mather. Yeah.
And I worked out that the best way to promote radio is television and outdoor. Well, television wasn't a proposition because it was national. So I said, let's dominate outdoor. In those days, there weren't that many sites.
You could own it with a handful. Yeah.
Yes.
And in to some degree, I don't think it's exaggerating to say that 702 kind of invented the regional top end of the market out of home industry. It was almost invented by 702 at that point.
So my brief to them was, you've got to be able to read those ads at 60 Ks an hour.
Mm.
And they came up with just amazing stuff. I was such a great client. We also were one of the first people to pay a fee instead of the 16%. I said, what is your extraction rate? And they said, we need to extract 4%, which was, after all, costs, etc. So I said, well, fine. And the reason I did this, I must tell you, is we'd done a lot of barter with newspapers and stuff. I needed someone to manage that. We couldn't cope. So I said, you've got to manage all our media barter, and for this we will pay a fee, including the work you do for us. We will pay on invoice for the creativity. I think we'd agreed on it was 20% or something. We'll pay on invoice for that, and we'll pay you your extraction rate. And so we did a deal with them where we were one of the first companies to pay a fee. Today it's common.
So, I mean, in all of that, I think you're right, Doc. I'm suddenly realizing we've got two shows. Yeah, there's no way we can do justice to this in one show. But for me, what was incredible breakthrough and it was to recall the tension in South Africa at this point of view. You know, I often reference the Edelberg Trust Barometer, where 64% of people around the world believe that in inverted commas, my country, people are incapable of having a civil debate or civil discussion. That's the current norm. But you moved it from that high energy music into talk, which was unheard of. But that, I think, was also the American influence in the background from you. That's
yeah. Okay, I'll pick it up.
Yeah,
pick it up from there. You're absolutely right.
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
So what happened was Springbok closed. They had this vast, far-flung network of FM transmitters right across the country. Those were handed to Radio 5, which, as an AM station, 702, remember, at the time was AM.
AM, yeah.
Radio 5 was AM. We were going head-to-head, and we were beating them hands down. And suddenly, they handed this FM network, and we just realized that as a music station, to compete with them would be like sniping at them with a pea shooter. We had to do something. And we'd been observing in America, AM stations were switching to talk or sport. And it was the salvation of AM radio because, and just a quick aside, in America, AM and FM stations, AM stations, FM stations were simulcast. In other words, AM gave you your range, FM gave you your clarity, and you could run the same programming on your AM station as you did on your FM station. FCC came in with a new rule. You had to separate them, and you could not carry the same programming on FM as you did on AM. FM went music, AM went talk. And we saw this happen. We were watching this happen.
But I think it was more, there was a social imperative as well. I mean, we needed as a country to start talking.
Was, and I admit this, slightly opportunistic, but nothing clears the mind. The lack of alternatives clears the mind marvelously. I'm quoting Henry Kissinger. So we said, well, what do we do to remain competitive? We can't remain competitive against our traditional enemy, which was music, which is now 5FM. How do we remain competitive within the entire arena, not just against one station? So we said, what can't the SABC do and what won't the SABC do? And the answer was there. SABC couldn't open the lines and say, what's on your mind?
Absolutely.
Because content was highly controlled.
Correct.
What can't they do? What won't they do? So we said, all we got to do, switch to talk and tell the truth. Because if you listen to the SABC and at the time and you listen to 702, you'd think it was two different countries. We were sending our vehicles into the townships, and we were reporting from the townships. I mean, when you drive in through one of those townships and people would be yelling, Viva 702, Viva! We knew we had something.
Yeah, and it was a remarkable transformation back in those days. It couldn't easily have failed.
And six months, I thought, the news, my salespeople are coming to me and saying, people in agencies are saying, you're crazy, you can't do, can't we play some music? And I had to bite the bullet and say, we're not going to play music, we are going to bite the and thank God it worked.
And it was a tough sell if you were in an agency trying to sell to clients, Doc, because many clients will say, we don't want to be in a negative environment.
Well, I was going to ask a question, Stan. I mean, you made the point of the mantra being that you were going to serve the customers with ads, etc., and you're in the really the business of business, as opposed to the business of music and all the other ones. So how did that affect it? Did it affect it initially? In other words, did you see a drop-off in ad revenue? People exactly like Ed Gordon saying, listen, this isn't really what people want to be, but rather go to Five or somewhere else.
No, whenever you change formats, there's a drop-off, because the people who are listening obviously listen because they like what they're hearing. Now you're saying to them, we're not going to be giving you what it was that you liked. We took the decision to change our audience completely. And so, there was a
I was talking about both the audience drop-off as well as advertisers. In other words, a revenue drop-off as well.
But we launched the, together with the change in format, we launched this extensive advertising campaign.
Yeah.
Now, the campaign, the advertising, and Gordon picked up on this as well, way back in the day, that it didn't only work on the audience, it worked on the industry.
Mm.
That we were ostensibly advertising to listeners, but, and I remember you saying this to me as well, the industry was listening.
Mm.
The industry was listening to the station because, as you said, we were dealing with the issues of the day. I'll tell you what we were dealing with at the time. We were dealing with white fear and black aspirations. And for the first time in the history of this country, blacks and whites were talking to each other. And it was amazing to hear that basically people want the same thing. They wanted a good life. They wanted a good life for their children, an education, a decent future. No matter what color, creed you were. Yeah.
And I think, again, not to sort of give all the sort of credence to 702 for this, but at that time, then, because of that kind of realization, that's when we began to start considering things like LSMs at that stage, because what you wanted was a lens which looked at people who had stuff and people who didn't have stuff, but not from a racial perspective. So I think it opened up a bigger dialogue within the industry, which in retrospect I've realized was triggered by that kind of growing realization that it was insane to continue. I mean, the fundamental premise of marketing is, what do you and I have in common, Doc? Mm. Not, what makes us different. So we knew everything in South Africa about what made us different, nothing at all about what we had in common, and we began to unlock that thought process. So I don't think it's a coincidence that the whole LSM thought process evolved around about that same time.
Now, do you remember, just to put this, to give it further context, newspapers were coming out with blanks where articles had been censored.
Yep. I mean,
you'd buy
redacted front page.
Redacted front page.
Yep.
But the beauty of radio is it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission.
Mm. Yeah.
So we would. The government gave us a hard time. We were constantly being called to Cape Town. And meetings with the Minister of Broadcasting, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, I think it was the same portfolio, Foreign Affairs and Broadcasting with the same portfolio.
Yeah.
There was also the Minister of Suspicion, I think his portfolio was, I don't remember. And they would tear their hair out. Now, what they couldn't do, and the best thing to come out of the Bantustan policy was, they couldn't close us down because we were ostensibly licensed to a sovereign, independent, sovereign country, albeit recognized only by the government.
Yeah.
So they couldn't close. They tried to get us to cut back on what we were doing. They said, we've got to cut back on our community involvement. I said, sure. But how do you cut back on that? They, what else did they try and get us to do? Oh, they then said, your news, you have to curb your news. So we said, okay, we tell you what, we will submit our newscasts before we broadcast them. Said, good. We would send them reams and reams of faxes, which it would take a room full of people a month to decipher and interpret. So that fell by the wayside. But it wasn't easy. We were broadcasting, and this is the other thing. We were broadcasting from Johannesburg with a line on a landline from the post office. The post office provided us with a landline from our studios in Johannesburg to our transmitter in Bophuthatswana. Sorry, I forgot to mention that we were licensed to Bophuthatswana.
Yep.
And that's how we could do it, because they were independent.
Yep.
We also had pictures of Mangopi and all our officers staring at us from the walls.
Yeah. So, well, Sage, hopefully staring at you, Sage. But I mean, all of that is in the past. So let's get back to the point. This is the first, I think, 1 hour introduction we've ever had to a show, Doc. I'm quite impressed with your introduction there, Stan. Is the return of Stan the Man to the airways, because, you know, within a week or two you're going to be on air with Chai FM on a Sunday afternoon, and your show has the delightfully appropriate invitation to listen to you herding cats. Yeah. Tell us a bit about the new show. I mean, you've got a couple of stings. I mean, I'm presuming word perfect. It's going to have what, the hindsight? Well, no, we let the foresight of
a politician, the eyesight of an optometrist, and the hindsight of an proctologist.
There we go.
So I'll tell you, the higher up the ranks I rose in radio, the further away I got from the very reason I got into the business in the first place, is I love radio. Yeah. I love the medium. And I'm don't get me wrong, I love being on the business end of things as well. It was a great challenge. It was exciting. I could use my BCom.
Absolutely. BCom from WITS, not that, you know, they're not our sponsors, but from WITS, Nochal, it was a communist BCom.
A communist BCom. So, where was I? Oh, now, I can't make sense of the world, Gordy, but I can make fun of it.
It's a sound perspective, I suggest, yeah.
And so the show will be a combination of music, probably 80-20 music. Format will be middle of the rock, in other words, not heavy metal and not light pop, but somewhere in the middle, up-tempo, positive for a Sunday afternoon. I look at it as my version of a round of golf on a Sunday afternoon. It's...
But without the swearing, Stan, obviously. I don't think you're going to be allowed to swear like the average golfer on Chai, or are you?
They keep reminding me it's a family radio.
It's a family show.
When they told me that, it was the Manson family, but they disabused me in fact.
But I got permission from my old rugby club to dedicate one of our beer songs to you, Stan. I mean, can I run it past you as a possible opening? You know, yeah, and I know because Stan and I share the same passion for music. So it's here we go. All right, you ready? Stan, the sanitary man. He is a corporation cleaner of a lavatory pan. He lives on bog rolls and sanitary towels. He listens to the rhythm of other men's bowels occasionally. It may be heard, it's the splish, splash, splash of a falling turd. Splish, splash, and into the pan he goes. Stan, Stan, the lavatory man, it's the shit house blues. Oh, yeah.
How's it?
Could that work?
Really? I'm happy to entertain that.
Thank you. That's with the permission of the Morris Rugby All Boys who've allowed me to sing that song under license.
May I say, as subtle as falling down a lift shaft.
Absolutely. I would like to think so. Well, guys, I don't know. Just to say that, you know, as we wrap up here, we've got a couple of copies of Stan's book, Radio Advertising, A Sound Investment, which we're going to we'll have a quiz or something, and we're going to give you a chance to win a couple of these books. And I think most people who've worked in radio sales in South Africa have worked through this book, and I know a lot of them in Africa as well, because Stan, you spent the last decade in Africa. But I think it's just great to have you back, and it's great to see you enjoying the challenge again. To the listeners of Chai FM, good luck. Our thoughts are with you on the Dr. Guru podcast. And Doc, I'm going to leave it to you as the youngster in the room to wrap it up for us.
I think you're going to get the rabbi giving you a shot saying, Stan, listen, it's just
run into trouble there.
Let's hold this thing together. But Stan, I mean, just thanks for that. And just a short recap and some of those points you were making. And I mean, your earlier, and we didn't get a chance to chat about it, your earlier experience with your brother in the training business must have stood you in good stead for your work in Africa now. I'm just listening to you and some of those pointers you're talking about, tips and tricks, and I guess your book has a lot of it in it. You know, those things, and it's almost a circular thing, you know, Gordon. We've spoken so many times with various guests about young people's careers.
don't say no, volunteer, do the graft. You know, last week we spoke about the opposite, this handout culture. You know, people saying, I'm entitled. So it's interesting that you're working hard, you're using those skills, and that's wonderful that, you're giving back again now behind the mic on radio.
You know, the word that has driven me all my life is passion. And I know you've got to wrap up. I'll just give you one last anecdote. I was earning 250 rand a month as administrative assistant at Swazi Radio, and a friend of the family offered me a job at Regent Ties. I don't know if you remember Regent Ties. I think they were the only tie factory in the country. Regent Ties and Cravats. It was double the salary, I would get shares, and eventually I would take over as CEO. And I went to see my uncle, who was my mentor. I've been very lucky to have mentors throughout my career. I've been helped and hindered by powerful people. I went to see him, and I told him my dilemma, quandary, and he said, do you like what you're doing? And I said, I love what I'm doing. He said, well, if you pursue the money, the money will elude you, but if you do what you love to do, it'll be a labor of love, and you will put in the extra time and the extra effort because it's a labor of love. I went back to Swazi and I said, listen, guys, I just want to tell you this. I'm not holding a pistol to your head. I was offered and I decided I'm going to stay. They doubled my salary.
So
today you're talking about this environment of entitlement. If someone isn't a creative director in an agency by the age of 25, they want to leave the industry.
So just coming back, I mean, I suddenly realized you always had one benchmark. You said you can always tell a decent radio man. In your case, there was one definition. You said you know that you're a radio man because every time you drive under a bridge,
you stop talking.
your voice cuts out.
Radio's in my blood.
Radio's in your blood. That was always your mantra. I've never forgotten that was your payoff line.
I was also going to tell you, I was almost late today. I was running so late, I had to read the newspaper in the shower.
Doc,
yeah.
Try and top that.
Great. Jeez, Gordon, this is probably the easiest. I mean, if you had to add up the amount of time we spoke, it was nothing, you know. So, Stan, thanks very much for your time. You're a real legend.
Thank you, and thanks for the plug for the show.
Yeah.
I'm nervous as hell, I must tell you.
But it's interesting, man. It's a thing, you know. You speak to cricketers and top guys who've played, and they go out, and you say, "Oh, you're nervous," and they say, "A little bit anxious." You know, you want to get your feet moving. You say, "But you've scored 5,000 test runs." You say, "But I haven't scored today." You know, and that's the thing. You've got to get the ball, middling it, and I guess and the nice thing about that is it's not that complacency. You just pitch up. I don't really care. Top thing, I do, I care deeply. I'm a little anxious, I'm not scared, I'm just keen, I'm excited. So it's wonderful, and again, for not just young listeners, Gordon, but for all listeners, is to have that little bit of keenness still, you know, to find that moment of excitement, and that you don't just go through the motions, rather than find something else, where you do find that moment of I want to get my feet moving.
I have never done a show where I didn't feel nervous before I cracked the mic. Somebody, a great actress, I forget who, I wish I'd remember the name, said, I still get butterflies in my stomach, but at least now they fly in formation.
Well, Stan, I mean, we don't have you. Do you have your wrap-up line for the show? Can we have a pre-release?
That was it.
Okay, well, that is. So to all our listeners out there, thanks for flying in formation with us, and we really appreciate the time you've given us, and we'll chat to you next week. Ciao for now.
And so that was another episode of The Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get a hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get a hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mateus. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views, and certainly will respond, and hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, @MzanziMedia, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on in the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have some of the younger, more
under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.